Now tonight we're going to do this short series on holiness. And we're going to be thinking about the holiness of God tonight, and then God willing we should be thinking about our own holiness next week and what that is truly all about. After all, it says in God's word that we should be holy as God is holy. That's quite a thought, isn't it? You think, well, how can I possibly reach holiness? You know, I am not perfect. I've been a Christian for years and I'm still not perfect. How could it be the case that I could be holy? Now, when you think of holiness, I wonder what the first thing is that you think of. We've had some answers tonight already. You know that we think of purity, we think of perfection. What did you say, Don? We think of the Bible, God's Word. What else do we think of? Did we say righteousness? Okay, all these different things, don't we? We think of purity, perfection, otherness, set apartness. You know, sometimes we think of, you know, someone who is holy is different. You know, they are set apart. And maybe as you were thinking about, you know, kind of ideas of holiness, your mind was drawn to, you know, the temple, for example, in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system. You know, why did people have to sacrifice things? Because they needed to be made holy. Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, why did the high priest have to make sacrifice? And the great high, well, because he needed to go into the holy place. And then once a year they went into the place of atonement. They went into the most holy place. So you think of it as being something to do with the temple. And perhaps, interestingly, this didn't come out, but if you think of holiness, maybe you think of Jesus. Who thought of Jesus? Oh yeah, now you, yeah, yes, I do not believe you. Yeah, yeah. Did you say that to me? Oh, you did, okay, fine. Okay, you definitely thought about it. Okay, I believe you. I believe you, okay? Now, sometimes when you think of holiness, sometimes there is a kind of a feeling perhaps inside. Maybe we think, you know, holiness is actually a scary thing. Did you think of it that tonight? You think, oh, holiness. You know, if you said to me, James, you know, speak to me about God's love. Oh, yes, I can engage with that. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. But God's holiness, that's a much harder thing. Okay? And sometimes we might think it's a kind of scary thing because a holy God equates to a far-off God. Yeah? A God who's up there looking at you and saying you're doing it wrong. Is that not right? Sometimes that's kind of the impression that we think. Because God is so other. He's so perfect. He is so pure. And so we think, well, you know, God looks at me and, you know, it's far off when we think of a holy God. But throughout scripture and even in the, you know, just in four passages that we looked at tonight from four different books, we notice that holiness is highlighted as one of the attributes of God. This is who he is in his character. It's integral, it's part of God that he is holy, that he is so pure and so perfect in every way and without sin. We saw this in the passages from scripture that we read, from the Psalms to Hannah's prayer about, you know, God being the Holy One. To the passage in Revelation where the living creatures never stop saying, not singing incidentally, saying, did you notice that? Saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Again and again and again and again, 24 hours, constant. They never stop saying it. Therefore, it must be important, mustn't it, that God is holy. This must be something that we need to know about God, that he is other, that he is perfect, that he is good, that he is righteous in every single way. Now, of course, there are many attributes of God, aren't there? His goodness, his loving nature, his compassion, his jealousy. He's known as a jealous God whose name is Jealous. Lots of attributes of God. If I wanted to speak a wee bit and think about God's holiness, because I think that God's holiness is something worth reflecting on. Because actually it does shape how we approach God. Okay? You see, we tend to vie between two ways of approaching God. I'm stereotyping here, okay? But we tend to vie between these two ways. And maybe you see part of yourself in this. One is to believe, you know, God is holy. Scary God. Okay? And so holy that we dare not hardly come into his presence. And when we focus so much on God's holiness, our relationship with God becomes quite distant. Okay? Because God seems so far away. And we feel that we have to approach God with so much formality. That we can only come before him in prayer in a certain way and with certain words. And therefore sometimes we feel a failure. And so when we emphasize God's holiness too much, there becomes this distant formality with God. And that's a problem, isn't it? You know, we don't want God. You know, God is a holy God, but he's not a distant God. Yeah? And so when we focus too much on God's holiness, there becomes this distant formality, and there's no warmth. And there's no closeness. And it becomes this formal relationship, doesn't it? It's a bit like, you know, if you're meeting the Queen, you can't just say, "Hello, Liz." You know, it's just not like that. You know, it's nice to be in your house, Betty. You just can't do that, can you? You know, there's certain protocols, aren't you? You've got to approach the Queen in a certain way. You can't put your hand out to her before she's put her hand out to you. Is that not right? I think that's right. You know, you've got to work out how you're going to bow or how you're going to... Oh, that's a terrible curtsy, but how you're going to curtsy, okay? How are you going to approach the Queen? It's formal. It's also quite distant. Because you can't just have a chat with the Queen, can you? And sometimes we approach God that way, as God is so other, therefore I can't have that close relationship with him. Now the other way that we have to caution against in terms of how we approach God is that we come into God's presence casually. And I think that this is actually a fairly recent phenomena, where God is spoken to as though he were your chum, and you're on an equal footing with him, okay? And you often hear prayers, don't you? Which are actually not really prayers at all. They're simply asking God to bless the plans that you have already made. And I think sometimes that kind of chumminess with God, it comes from a misunderstanding that God is other. That God is not the same as we are. Okay, we end up bringing God down and putting him on a kind of level playing field with ourselves. And so there is this casualness that creeps in to our Christian life and sometimes into our prayer life. Now, what of course is needed, okay, now that's a stereotype that I've been going through there, but what's needed is a balance and to keep all the attributes of God in balance. We need a balance of knowing that God is loving, because God is loving. He's loved us so much he sent Jesus into the world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? You know, love came down at Christmas. Sung that ahead to gardens this afternoon. So we need a balance of knowing that God is loving on one hand, but we need a balance of knowing that God is holy. And to remedy the latter problem of casualness creeping into our spiritual life, we need to focus on God's holiness. You see, casualness in our prayer life and in our approach to God usually happens because we bring God down to our level and think that God is just like us. And it doesn't really matter what we do because God is a loving God and he'll forgive us anyway. Now that's partly true, but only partly. God is not like us. He is sovereign. He is eternal, and he is holy. That means he's sinless. And holiness means that he cannot abide sin in his presence. That's true, isn't it? If you go way back to the beginning of the Bible, what happened with Adam and Eve, They took the apple, they disobeyed God, they fell into sin. You know, did God just say, you know, it's all right, Adam and Eve, you know, please try better next time? Is that what he did? There were consequences, weren't there? He couldn't let them remain in the garden any longer. And so they were thrown out of the garden. That's the holiness of God. Now, they were given animal skins to wear. That's the love of God. Yeah? So there's compassion and there's holiness. And remember how at the gates of the garden the cherubim were placed with a flaming sword from side to side to guard the Garden of Eden. Holiness means that God cannot abide sin in his sight. And it is through focusing on the holiness of God we come before God with awe and we have a true understanding of who we are. Yeah? One of the passages that we read tonight was the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And in that parable, the Pharisee's confident of his own righteousness. And so he's there and he's praying on that street corner and he really wants to be seen for himself. Yeah, he wants everyone to see, you know, look how good I look. Yeah? But what I say to you that the tax collector's main, the Pharisee's main problem is that he does not understand that God is a holy God. And God is not a God to be messed with or made a fool of. So he's standing up there, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector, I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I get. He doesn't approach God in the right way, does he? No, far too casual. I think I am good enough. God, come down to my level. The contrast is the tax collector, isn't it? Who prays in the right way. What does he do? He stands at a distance. So he's not doing this just for show. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Why? Because he understands that he's a sinner who needs to be saved by grace. He understands that God is a holy God and he is unholy in his sin and his shame. He understands he's different. Whereas the Pharisee, he thinks he's holy already. He beat his breast and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see, he approaches God in the right way. There's no hint of casualness. He understands what the relationship is, that God is far greater than he is. The Pharisee just thinks, you know what, how great am I? Look at me. You know, God, just bless my, you know, bless what I've done. You know, bless all the tithes I'm making. I fast twice a week, etc. The tax collector's the one who's justified before God. That's what Jesus says. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And actually, it's for seeing God for who he is. Seeing that he is an awesome God. Seeing that he is a holy God. Seeing that he is unlike us completely, sovereign over all. That we can only come before him with humility. And that's when our relationship is a right relationship, isn't it? It's not a chumminess. It's understanding God is God. Now, of course, if you want the best example of this, where do you go? You, of course, go to the cross. Everything points back to the cross. That's what we need to understand. Because what do we see at the cross? We see a holy God dealing with sin. Because we see Jesus dying on the cross for our sin. Because sin cannot just be left, can it? God doesn't just say to us, you know, it's okay, you've sinned and, you know, just come into my presence. He cannot abide sin in his sight. And so Jesus pays for our sin at the cross. At the cross, we see the holiness of God. But at the cross, what else do we see? We see the love of God. We see the compassion of God. We see the mercy of God, don't we? Because Jesus dies for our sin. We don't die, Jesus dies. Jesus comes into the world as a savior of the world. You see, God loved us so much, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So John 3:16 says, as we all know. And so it's at the cross that we see the holiness of God and the love of God. And so it's by focusing on the cross that we understand how we have a right relationship with God. A relationship not based in casualness, but not a distant relationship. You know, this is not a holy God saying, you know, you're left in your sin and I can't deal with you, so therefore I'm just going to leave you. You know, this was a God who was willing to reach out and to reach out in love and say, I love you so much, I will give you Jesus. So I want to encourage you this evening. Don't believe God as a God who is far off. I think this is a mistake that, less and less people make, incidentally. You know, that kind of formalism. You know, you see it in some churches sometimes where, you know, someone is up at the front and they're praying and you're just like, oh. You know, it's as though God is miles away. You know, really, you know, is that really what it's about? God is close. God has shown us his love in Jesus. Now, we're not to bring God down to our level because God chose to come down to our level. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? That God sent Jesus into the world, down to our level. Why did he send Jesus down to our level? Because we can't reach God's level. Jesus had to come into the world. But another thing I want you to think about this evening is let's not be casual in our relationship with God. Because there are times when we can rest on our laurels, aren't there? Times when you think, you know, I'm okay with God and, you know, God, I'll just, you know, pray certain things, you know, and I hope you bless my plans because, you know, and basically you're putting God on a par with yourself. We can all be guilty of that. We all have to recognize God is other. He is awesome. He is sovereign. And when we focus on these things, we come before him with humility and we say, Lord, I need you in my life. I cannot do this in my own strength. How often do we do things in our own strength? That's pure pride, isn't it? It's by focusing on the attributes of God, who God is, that we have a right relationship with him in Christ. So I encourage you this evening. Let's get the balance right. And sometimes we veer from one to the other, from one to the other. That's okay. Because it's somewhere in the middle. And it's found at the cross, where God's holiness and God's mercy and God's love meet together. Shall we just pray? Let's pray together. Loving Lord God, we thank you that you are a holy God. That you are perfect. In every way, that you are the awesome God, that you are sovereign over all. You know the beginning from the end. You are the great I am. And Lord God, as we come before you and we focus on these aspects of your character, we can only humble ourselves before you because we recognize how weak, how fragile, how we are but the dust before you. And we ask, Lord God, for forgiveness for those times when we've thought higher of ourselves than we ought to have done. But Lord God, we also ask for forgiveness for those times when we believe that you're an unattainable God. A God who is far off. A God who is wrathful all the time. Lord God, we thank you for this time of Advent. When we think of Jesus coming into the world as Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that the very name Jesus means he saves. And we thank you that Jesus saves us from our sin, that we might come into your very presence and that we might know the depth of your love. Lord God, we thank you that at the cross we see the perfect balance. Because we see your wrath for sin. We see your holiness being poured out. But we also see the depth of your love, your mercy, your compassion for each one of us. Lord God, we pray as we look at that cross tonight, that we might be moved in our very souls, that we might see you as you truly are, and that we would humble ourselves before you, the everlasting, the eternal, the holy God. So Father, meet with us in this place this evening, we pray, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.